Greetings, Mr. Bow.
Salutations.
Back in your office, I see. Where were you last week anyway? I forgot to even ask.
The hell was I doing?
I just...
You had some work going on in the house, so I had to go find a quiet place that wasn't at the house. So it was very noisy environment, not conducive to
stuff.
Yeah, so...
I understand. Okay. Here we go.
Banging. I don't think that you want a show with loud banging.
No, probably not. Probably not.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Ugh. Shall we jump right in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here comes the thingy. Blah, blah, blah. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Saturday, May 10th, 2025. It's just after 2 UTC. I'm Sam Minter, and Yvonne Bow is here with us again. Hello, Yvonne.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
I'm going to try to do this show, like, just saying blah, blah, but not actually, like, just saying, you know, instead of like, hi, Sam, how are you doing? Blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay. It'll be a very entertaining show.
Blah.
We could both do that. Blah. Blah.
Blah.
Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, I can't do this anymore.
No, this sounds like a terrible idea. Okay, so let's go back to the regular format. Okay, all right, good.
Yeah, so regular format agenda, but first we will do like less newsy stuff up front, and then we'll do a couple segments of news-related stuff. That's what we always do, pretty much.
It's a thing.
I mean, every once in a while we switch it up, but that's normal. Mm. So,
yeah, we do. Sometimes.
You want to kick this sucker off?
How do I kick this sucker off? Okay. Well, yes, I do have one item of note.
Item of note.
You know, so I got a notice. Well, I didn't see the notice I got first. I did get the notice, but I saw on social media somewhere.
Okay.
Someone posting that Nest was discontinuing support for, well, Google.
Okay.
Was discontinuing support for the app for first and second generation thermostats.
Now, just to...
In October of this...
How old are first and second generation thermostats at this point?
I'm going to guess they're at least 10 years old.
Okay. You know, for electronic device support, that's a long time. For thermostat support, less so, but like... You know, if it was a phone or something, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's way past.
Now, but the thing is, it's here's what's happening. Nest was not a Google company.
Right. They were acquired.
They were acquired. As a matter of fact, originally, their whole goal was more integrating more into the Apple Mac environment because Tony Fadell, who was the original designer of the iPod, if I remember correctly, of the wheel, something is like the guy that decided to build a Nest because he went one time, was building this, you know, this place, putting an AC. He looked at the thermostats and he said, this is all crap, which at that time, he was absolutely accurate. All the thermostats that existed
were awful.
I had what passed as some kind of modern programmable thermostat with a remote sensor but it
still sucked.
It was kludgy.
Yes.
Sucky, but it did what I wanted it to do. I, for example, was able to remotely control the temperature in my bedroom with this little remote control thingy. Yeah. Okay. All right. That did that. And I was able to program dates and times, but programming this thing, you know, if you remember like programming an old alarm clock, You know,
yeah, you had to like hold the one button and then push the other button.
And then, you know, and then you could program day. So you got to go to the day, put the program for that day, go to the, it was an exercise
and it
in patience.
And there were some physical buttons and probably a little LCD screen with not big display.
Yes.
Just maybe a couple numbers.
Yes. Yes. That's how this thing worked. So this is not easy to manage. Okay. But that was about the best thing I got. I remember that I had issues with temperature control, and I wanted a remote temperature.
You wanted a sensor that would be somewhere else other than the unit, so it could average out across your house or whatever. So,
yeah.
Because even now, like we have a fancier one, whatever, that we installed a few years ago. I mostly use an iOS app to control it at this point, not even like the head unit, because Alex broke the head unit. But anyway.
How the hell do you break a thermostat on the wall?
You take it off the wall and you throw it over and over again. That's all.
Do it.
So. But anyway, I almost never used the actual one on the wall anyway. I always use the app. But the point is that even with that one, it's still the one we have right now. I think there might be options, but we only have the one sensor where it's located. Whereas upstairs and downstairs still have differential temperatures because heat rises. And my daughter specifically always complains about the temperature in her room because she's always got the door closed and it's all locked in. And so like if somebody does something like opens the doors or windows downstairs because it's nice outside, the automatic system will try to adjust to compensate. And her room only will become either super cold or super hot while the rest of the house is comfortable. So,
you know, as you bring that up, it reminds me the event that we had. I don't remember if you remember this. We're at Hampshire Hall. Which was, of course, you don't remember. Why would you remember?
No.
I remember this.
I remember Hampshire Hall existed.
Yeah, we lived at this building that was, I mean, a dump is actually, I mean, is a nice term. Because this place was just, you know, we lived there a year. And I had a really good time living at this shithole.
But I lived there two years, didn't I?
No. Oh, yeah, you lived two. I lived one. You lived two. That's right. You lived the first 2 years. Yeah, you lived the first 2 years at CMU. Yeah.
Okay. Or maybe, was it three? No.
No. At the third year, we went to Amberson.
Well, I moved somewhere else. But yes. Anyway,
but we digress. Okay. So some guy went during the middle of winter, maintenance guy doing something, whatever, went downstairs to where the furnace was. And the temperature was well below freezing. Okay. All right. Yep. At that time. They left a window open down the furnace room where the thermostat was a temperature, you know, gauge was. Okay. And so this made the furnace blast so much heat into our rooms. Okay. That literally there was paint melting in some places.
Trying to heat the whole outdoors.
Right.
But in the meantime, it was heating the rooms that were already warm, not the place where the window was open.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. This was just ridiculous. I still remember coming. I mean, the temperature in it had to be over 100 degrees. Like what I got to like, what, like, what the fuck is this? Okay. It's just insanity. So I understand that. So leaving the windows open, like downstairs, that leads to that kind of stuff in other places. And so, you know, look, I got these nests. Now, the thing is that Google had bought Nest, and at first they had built out stuff in the Google, in the Nest application program interface, because they actually had some integration third parties could connect to it and some stuff. So they had this entire, like, you know, setup for their thermostats to connect, for these security cameras, smoke detectors, all these things that they were selling, and for third parties to integrate as well. But the thing is that Google then later rolled out this whole Google Home thing. So Google Home isn't the Nest thing. that they had. Okay.
Okay. Right.
This is this whole other protocol, which allowed other people to build light switches, things and other things and whatever. And they still, you know, for a while, it's like, I got this. I did put Google Home stuff in my house the last couple of years because I got, I did that to connect most of my places. But the thermostats, the Nests, were still set up in the Nest app. That Nest app talked to Google Home. Okay. So it was kludgy. And so Google decided that, you know what? We rolled out thermostats later that did not, actually, they did go through the Nest app. They still do, but the main primary interface was to actually go to Google Home. Okay. And so they just didn't want to maintain that old, you know, infrastructure when they built out this Google Home stuff. So they're basically saying, you know, look, we're shutting that down. If you got the thermostats, they're first gen, second gen, which I guess right now, yeah, they are all over 10 years old.
I mean,
at this point,
I understand.
They're like, you know what? You will be able to use a thermostat as a thermostat at the wall. That won't die, but you remotely controlling the temperature and programming it and any
via
of those
the app
things
and all this
via thing. The app, that will stop, cease functioning.
Well, and, in and October, you know, 15th. Look, you can understand that at 10 years old. I mean, and this does bring up the dichotomy between like the expectations of older devices. Like, you know, really in the olden days, you would expect, you set up a thermostat, it's a freaking thermostat. It's going to be there for 50 years.
But basically, yeah.
But with like with all of the tech integrations and smart devices and all that kind of stuff, you fundamentally, like, there's a tech refresh cycle that is more like 5 years, 10 on the super outside. And so, like, if you get, like, the smart connected device, I think the thought that it might be fully functional in 15 years is just not realistic.
I think, but you know what? Look, I've already experienced this with, like, car infotainment systems, okay?
Right.
You know, I had my Audi, my A6, that came in with built-in 3G connectivity, okay?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, 2014, that was like pretty, you know, state of the art to have a car with 3G and a
But eventually, not only was 3G obsolete, they shut the thing off.
They shut the whole, exactly. And what happened was that all of a sudden, you know, I had Google Earth Maps in that car and that all was, you know, destined to stop working.
Right.
Okay. And so, but I really think that in this era right now, where we're putting out that many devices that actually have that much of a longevity, unfortunately, it's really causing more problems. Okay. All right. And that the old, like, well, 5 years, well, you're not going to, you know, I'm sorry, but you're not going to dump an entire car because of the connectivity.
The thing is, and, you know, first of all, the manufacturers would love you to, obviously. Like, but
well, yeah, but that's just
I know. But the thing is, the way around that is modularity. Like, you set it up so that you can expect from the beginning.
Well, by the way, they are doing that with some newer cars with telecommunication like controllers, because right now cars have a network. Okay, they have right. It's called a CAN bus, the car whatever network, but it's basically a TCP/IP network in the freaking car. I mean, they just go and like decide, okay, fine, you know, we'll replace that, you know, we'll make that module that's replaceable. We'll give a good plug in a new one. We'll put in a new one, and that way you'll have connectivity or something.
Yeah, I mean, and the logistics of it are, of course, going to be complicated. But you want, like, any piece like that that you are going to expect will become obsolete faster than the whole car.
You want it to be able to be replaceable.
You want to be able to be replaceable.
And you know what? When you go back 30, 40 years ago, you know, with some of these things, it was kind of like that. You know, we replaced car stereos. Okay,
right.
That was normal.
There was that, you know, you pull it out and you push a
new
one in.
You put the new one in and voila, we did that.
But I'll say, this is not just cars, right? This is like dishwashers.
Yes.
Washer dryers, like with the whole tendency of all of these things to be connected and electronic and whatever.
I mean, you don't want to have to dump your damn refrigerator, you know, because it stopped connected to the fucking internet.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, now the thermostat, I'll be, given that the thermostat is a module connected to the AC, you don't really have to dump the AC. Okay.
Right.
That's a little bit more pragmatic where it is that you can replace just that component and you're not having to get a completely new air conditioner.
Yes. Yes.
So I can see that, but I do think that it's a little bit like, it's quite a pain in my ass. Okay. Still anyway. So I went and what now Google, I saw this online.
Yeah, let's get back to the next Nest. We were moving off.
You know, I saw this online and I'm like, oh, Google is sending this thing out where they're sending a coupon for you to be able to purchase the new fourth generation thermostats at a significant discount. Okay. Which is over half, if I remember, about a half.
That's pretty generous.
So that was very generous of them. Okay. So I went and I got two of them. Okay. So this was like, you know, shit. I mean, so I went and I checked on my email and voila, lo and behold, I did have my offer from Google and with my discount certificate for about half off for me to be able to get the new thermostats. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, it's 6 months from now. It's not that far off. I've got the damn coupon. Let me go and like buy these damn things. Okay. So I bought the thermostat. I replaced one right now, not both of them. The really annoying thing that they did.
Okay.
Is that, you know, if you, well, I guess, well, yeah, you know, you probably expected that a lot of people were going to be, if you're doing this thing, you're discontinuing support for that. You probably expect that a lot of people that are going to come in are going to be replacing their first and second generation Nest thermostats, okay? Mm-hmm. Especially when you're doing such a generous offer. So the incredibly annoying thing that they did is that the Nest thermostats has a plate on the wall on which you affix the thermostat to. They did not make the plate the same size. And I'm okay. Just like, why the fuck would you change the square plate to an oval plate? Why? 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 There's no fucking reason. Why can't you just make the fucking plate the same size? So the really irritating thing to me, which I'm sure that nobody else really gives a shit, but many, well, I'm sure a lot of people will, but a lot of people are like, whatever, is that when I had to take out the old plate, it ripped the paint. Okay? It's okay. Not, I got an oval new plate versus the other one was square. So now the whole paint is all fucked up around the stupid thermostat. So now I got to get fucking paint to go and like paint all around this because these idiots just couldn't make the plate the same fucking shape.
Okay.
Really irritating.
I imagine they're... probably was some way you could have made like an adapter.
I tried to see if I could retrofit using the old plate. It wouldn't, you know, even though everything was very similar, it wasn't the same in terms of the wall plate and the little cables.
That's why I was saying some sort of adapter, like you could 3D print an adapter or something.
I could have gone through all that trouble if I had a 3D printer and I was inclined with the time, but no, I realized that no, they don't have it. I'm like, fuckers. I'm like, just whatever. I just got to go get paint like right now. Okay. So I did connect this and I set it up. You know what? Google makes such shitty interfaces for software. The interface is just, and it does come. The display on it is nice. It does come with an extra. So the one thing is that this one comes with, which is very cool. This part is cool. It's got these little remote temperature sensors. Okay. They look like this. I'm showing to Sam on video. Okay.
It's a little circle shaped white thing.
Yeah. And so it has these little remote temperature sensors. And the thing is that if you have a couple of thermostats, you could also tell it to set the temperature in a way like, hey, come average out the temperature between the two.
That's nice. Like, I want that for our house. Right. I want that. And I haven't even looked into whether I can, like, with the system we have, extend it to do that.
Right.
But, like, I think that would be nice. Like I said, we've got issues with, like, if you optimize for one part of the house, there's right. another part of the house that's too hot or too cold. And it would be nice to just put, like, 5 sensors scattered throughout
and
the house.
You can do that.
Do the average.
And so I got two ACs. And so when I set the other one up, I can see that I can have it, like, sense the temperature in the other room, in wherever. I could tell it to mix and match, which is averaging. Or, for example, right now I'm in the office in the living room AC, and I got the sensor over here. I'm like, look, no, optimize for where the fuck I am right now. The hell with the rest of the living room. I'm in the office. Okay.
Right.
Fuck that. And I noticed already, and I knew this from before, there are sometimes significant temperature differentials between, like, the living room and my office. Okay.
Right. Because of where the sun is coming in, what equipment you have running, hell, even the heat from people in the room, you know, all this kind of stuff.
It's like about 4 degrees temperature differential. Okay. You know, pretty significant. Place is not that big. You know, my condo's not that big. So, yeah. So you've got that. So having that is a nice feature. The instructions provided by Google are shit.
Okay.
You know, I pretty much was able to connect it because I remembered how the old one was connected, but not because of anything of the
instructions
provided. As a matter of fact, the fucking instructions didn't actually say, you know, here's the idiotic thing. You open the box. There's a little paper sheet in there. It doesn't really say anything other than show you what the contents are.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you, after I connected it, it says, hey, go to the Google Home app for setup. Then when you launch the Google Home app, then you realize that there are step-by-step instructions to install it on the wall in the fucking app, but you don't see that until after you fucking plug in the stupid thermostat. That prompt is on the display after it's powered up.
Right. Which you have to
you
set
idiot.
Up to get to that spot. Yes.
Good Lord.
That's lovely.
I mean, it's like the old story of sending an installation tape to set up your VCR.
Right.
I mean.
So now that it's all set up, do you like it? Is it better than the old one? Or is it just like, God damn it, they forced me to do this for no benefit?
Is it better? Well, there with the Nest thermostats, and this still has those features, you know, the AI features, whatever. Listen, Nest was a learning thermostat. It learned based on how you set the temperature, days, times. It learned your patterns, and it did certain things. It had sensors to detect whether you're home, not home. It used certain other devices to figure out.
All that sounds cool to some degree, but, like, all I want on mine is to set it at a temperature and say, this is where I want my house. Leave me alone.
Okay. Now you can do that. Okay.
I'm sure you can. So, that's sort of basic.
No, like, well, you no. You say that, and that's not exactly. Listen, the old Nest thermostat did not have a temperature hold feature, and that was an annoying thing. Okay.
Oh, okay.
You couldn't just say, you know, hey, hold the temperature at this for how many days? And I had other thermostats that did allow that were programmable. And this one didn't.
I'll be honest. We got ours, and I basically set it at 70. And the only times we ever touch that are, like, if something's going on, like when the person who comes to help clean our house is in here and working hard, she turns it down to, like, 60 while she's working because she's gets all hot.
So does our cleaning lady. Yeah.
And then it goes back to 70 when she's done. And then otherwise we leave.
Over here, we're all fighting about the temperature.
Well, and you know, now,
okay. So you say set it to 70. Listen, don't give me that shit because my wife, I was playing some game on the table and she's like, freezing and I'm melting.
Well, there are a couple things here. One, I'm doing it less lately, but there was a phase where I was constantly getting hot or cold and I was futzing with it. Okay.
Ah.
And so I was like, you know, I know it's 70 and I'm 70, but I'm hot. I'm turning it to 68.
Right.
You know, or sometimes the other way, like, you know, it's 70, I'm cold. I'm turning it to 72. But lately, I've been doing much less of that and keeping it 70. But, you know, I mentioned... But
also, you've been going to the office.
Well, true. But also, I was going to say, since the head unit has been broken, I don't even know where it is anymore. It's not on the wall. No, it is on the wall. It just doesn't work anymore. But since then, where you have to use the app, I don't know that the other people in the family bothered to set up the app.
So that's the thing. You're in control.
I'm in
basically,
control.
Basically, you're in control. Okay.
If they're hot, they can't go to the wall and change it. That doesn't work anymore.
The thing is that everybody here has the app. I've already had these situations with my wife where I'm like, I'm fucking hot.
And then two minutes later,
she's like, fuck. And I'm like, why the hell is it? And I look at the thing. Why the fuck? I'm like, fuck. She turned the... Turn it the fuck back up.
Well, I will tell you, the one person I know does have the app is our cleaning person. I set her up with it so she could turn it down when she's working. But I don't know if my wife or daughter ever bothered to set it up. Okay. Like, they might have. I gave them the information. But
anyway. So yeah, you know, like, right now, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's... Listen, there... I guess, here's the main thing. While this thing, like, for example, right now we're talking about the temperature differential. It's saying that in the living room it's 72, okay? Mm. But it's saying that in my office, according to this, it's 76, okay? Even though, but I have the temperature set for it to cool, okay? So it's not like, yeah, I have it. So there is a significant temperature differential.
I hear you. I mean, I'll tell you right now, at 76, I would be melting, and I'd be like, oh my God, this is so hot.
While the features are nice, okay, you know, this is cool with the extra temperature sensors and the balancing the temperature shit and whatever. But the reality is that I wasn't really looking at getting a new thermostat. And right.
You were fine.
I was perfectly happy with the functionality I had before. And I had no real, like, desire to really go and, like, buy new thermostats. And it's only the fact that I knew that I was going to lose a functionality in, you know, less than 6 months that basically just drove me to make the decision. And I did go and, like, look at other thermostats. But the main problem I've got is, and I knew this from a long time, is that most other thermostats require a power cable for the thermostat to the location, while the Nest ones do not require that. And because of that, I have stuck with a Nest. Ecobee requires it, which is the one that I mostly considered. It really does require it. So I would have to get the electrician or somebody to go and spend a ton of money rewiring that shit. And I'm like, nah, I'm not. Aside from the fact that I didn't want to change the fucking thermostat in the first place, now I'm going to go fucking spend money on a damn electrician? No, fuck that. No.
Okay.
No. I'm like, you know, I didn't want to do it in the first place.
Shall we move on?
Yes.
Okay. So I have my usual movie, and I'm not going to skip my movie because I'm so far behind. If I skip movie, at some point I'm going to have to do multiple movies, but I did want to mention one other thing because it's sort of the completion of a saga I've mentioned on the show before. And that is, well, there was something happening. You know, I mentioned all kinds of crap at work, but like I had a significant end point of stuff that was stressing me out at work. And I decided to reward myself with something. With the movie marathon. No, with something I've talked about before that I was like, I wonder, do I want that? I got an iPad.
iPad!
And specifically, like I've talked about on the show, I got a mid-range. This is an iPad Air, not an iPad Pro. I didn't go bottom end with the iPad. I didn't go top end with the iPad Pro. I got an iPad Air. And like we talked about on the show before, I didn't like splurge on a whole bunch of memory either. Like I didn't go to the absolute bottom. I got 256 instead. Like the bottom of the iPad Air is 128. I like my other devices like have, I think my phone has 512 or something, but I looked at what my phone was using and I was using less than half of it. Now, I usually, when I buy a device, I like take what I'm using on my current device and double it and say, I want at least that much headroom. Because if I keep this a few years, maybe I'll want more. But as per like, you know, what we talked about, it's like so much is in the cloud these days.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm using less than 256 on my phone right now. I'm like, you know, I'll just get to 256. Like, and see. And so anyway, I've only had this a few days. The judgment has yet to be made of whether I will consistently use this long term. Cause this is another reason why I didn't want to get like an iPad Pro or something is like, I'm like, I don't, I've had this like, I think I want an iPad again notion in my head for a while, because I had an iPad a long, long time ago and then it died and I never replaced it because I was like, with the max size phones, you know, I've got a pretty big screen here. It's doing everything I wanted to do, but I kind of wanted one. But I wasn't sure exactly what I'd end up using it for. And so far, like I said, I've only had it a few days. So it's sort of like, I am using it a lot right now, but I don't know how much of that is the novelty of having a new device and being like, oh, I'll use the iPad. Ooh, I'll use the iPad, as opposed to habits that I'll build on a long-term basis.
But, I got to tell you that I've had this iPad for 6 months and I am using it so much more than I had been using my old iPad.
Mm.
And that has remained the
case. You have a Pro, though, right?
The case. Yeah, I do have a Pro. But remember, my other iPad was, Jesus, 9 years old.
Right.
It wasn't exactly, you know, the latest, the greatest one. Okay. So, you know, that iPad, it was the original, one of the original Pro iPads. Right. I must admit that, look, Apple did support the hell out of that iPad. It got software updates up until like last year. Okay, we're talking about supporting old devices. Okay, I mean, that one got software updates up until like last year. I mean, it got 8-9 years of fucking software updates. That's shit. I mean, that's way more than average. Okay,
yeah, no.
I was using it, but because it wasn't as fast, and you know, I used to have a keyboard for it, and the keyboard was kludgy. And so I didn't have the keyboard. I didn't use it as much. However, now with the iPad Pro, and I got the new keyboard that has a little trackpad and everything on it. I'm using that thing, you know, constantly.
So I did not get a keyboard. I did not get a pencil. I'm like, I have a laptop. I'm going to use this as a tablet.
I did get a pencil. I've used it to play around that I've never actually used it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like used it for real. No.
Yeah. And I'm like, I haven't felt tempted really to like have a keyboard on it and stuff. I don't know. Like I want to use this as a tablet. I figure I've got plenty of keyboard devices. I don't know. Maybe I'll play with that at some point. But for the most part, like I found like it's just nice to have the bigger screen for certain browsing and certain social media stuff even. And like even like TikTok, it's nice to have the bigger screen. You know, I don't know.
The one thing that I do a lot with it,
I've watched a little bit of TV on it, and a little bit.
I mean, you go to the office, don't you take with you to the office?
Well, that's one thing. I don't take my laptop with me to the laptop. I don't take my laptop, my personal laptop, with me to the office, but I have been taking the iPad with me to the office.
There you go.
And so like when I'm at lunch or whatever and I want to just scroll my media instead of doing my phone, I've been doing it on the iPad.
Exactly.
And,
it was a lot bigger. It's like, you know, you could read a lot of these.
And I found also like I've been heavily resistant to even looking at my personal email on my phone. Like, I've done it a few times, but it's like, it's kind of a pain. I found I'm a little bit more willing to do that on the iPad than I am on the phone. So I've been trying to keep up a little bit more. I mean, we've talked about my email issues before, but like, I don't know. It's good so far. Like I said, we'll see how it plays out over time. But, and, you know, like several days in, I'm enjoying it. And, oh, and I got blue.
Blue.
I got the,
wow.
The blue color.
You got blue.
Like, and honestly, this is the first time I've gotten a color separate from, I always get like whatever the gray is. Sometimes black, but like, you know, I've never gotten the colored Apple stuff before. So this is my first venture into that, and it's fine.
I do have a blue phone.
It's very subtly blue, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I do have a blue phone. That I did my last phone. I think the last, yeah, this phone is blue. I don't remember what the hell the last phone before this one I had. I used to get a lot of the white, I got the really bright white ones.
Right.
This iPad I got is black. But
yeah,
you know,
well, the Pros come in less colors. They save the colors for the lower end models to sort of make up for the fact that you don't get the performance or whatever. I guess you get to say like, "Ooh, it's blue.
It's blue.
It's blue." You know, so enough of that. I did want to not skip my movie. The movie for this time is from 1984, The Karate Kid.
Oh my God. Well, timely.
Oh, because there's new Karate Kid.
Yes.
Yes. Well, there's been a bunch of new Karate Kid stuff. There was actually the Cobra Kai TV series and some other stuff. And Karate Kid is one of those that I'm pretty sure over the years I had seen pretty much all of it, but I'm not sure I'd ever seen it beginning to end straight through.
Interesting.
But it's one of the movies that, you know, came on TV a lot and you'd see bits and pieces of it and you'd stop. And so and they're famous scenes like the
sweep the leg,
there's the paintbrush thing and the wax on, wax off. Yeah. There's all that sort of famous stuff. This did not like stun me. I'm going to give it a thumb sideways because I hadn't like been a fan of it and watched it a lot when I was younger. I don't have the big nostalgic connection to it like that some people might have, that like, oh, The Karate Kid, it's like big nostalgia, whatever. I didn't have that because I didn't really watch it at that point. Like I said, I feel like I knew all the bits and pieces, but not because I was a fan or I watched it straight through. It was sort of like by osmosis because it existed in the culture. And, you know, it was fine, but I wasn't like blown away, thumb sideways. That's where I am. But it is like, it is one of those classic Gen X cultural films that like, I guess was part of the zeitgeist of our generation at least. And so I guess it's, if you haven't seen it and you're roughly in our generation, Gen X-ish, then you probably should. Or even if you saw it decades ago, maybe it's time to revisit again. It had a few sequel movies. And like I said, there's been more recent sequel TV shows and there's a new sequel movie coming out. And there's a whole franchise now. Let me look at the franchise now. We had, for films, we had The Karate Kid in 1984, Karate Kid Part 2 in 86, Karate Kid Part 3 in 89, then the next Karate Kid in 1994, then a new The Karate Kid in 2010, and the one that's coming out this month is Karate Kid Legends.
Legends.
And then there were two TV series, a Karate Kid TV series in 1989, and then Cobra Kai that went from 2018 to 2025. And I don't know if it's over.
I,
over.
I, yeah. I am pretty sure I did not see anything beyond Karate Kid Part 3.
Okay.
And I do remember, for some reason... there have
been multiple video games, too.
Oh, well, I did not play any of those. But I do remember that I took as one of my first dates with this girlfriend that I had, that you met in Pittsburgh, that I met in Puerto Rico. I took her to that movie.
Okay.
You know, that she actually came to visit me while I was in Hampshire. So I remember that movie.
I remember the girl.
Yeah. So you vaguely. At least you remember Sabina. So I went, and that was like one of the, I think the first movie as a date that I took her to was Karate Kid Part 3. For some reason, I remember that.
Okay.
But I remember a whole bunch of other things. Why the fuck? I don't know.
So you remember the date, but do you remember, did you like the movie?
I remember that I thought the movie was
you're talking about
like,
Part 3, but...
No, yeah, well, I do remember that the movie was kind of like...
What did you think of the first one? The one I saw?
I liked the first one when I saw it back then. I don't know if I, rewatching it now, would like it as much as back then. But I do remember that when I watched it back then, I did watch the first one. Enough that I did go and watch Karate Kid Part 2 and Part 3, for God's sakes. Now... Look, let's be clear about this. Back then, it's not like you had that many choices in terms of like entertainment. So that was like the big summer release. And so if we're going to go on a date and it's like the biggest movie opening, it's not like you're going to go and like watch. There's not that many other choices to go watch. So basically,
honestly,
I am sure that I went to watch it. Not because I was like, oh my God, you know, I'm so into Karate Kid Part 3. It's like, well, this is the only movie.
Well, honestly, even now, if you're actually going to go to the theater, as opposed to everything you can get online, you know, most multiplexes, you know, maybe if you're lucky, you got 10 or 12 movies playing at any given time, and most of them are probably less.
Well, but here's the thing. This was in Puerto Rico. So we didn't really have really big multiplexes yet in Puerto Rico versus over here. So when you went to the theater, at that theater in San Juan, there were basically two big theaters. And the one thing that was really, really strange about these is these were very massive theaters.
Right.
Okay. So you had this movie house that probably could fit a couple of thousand people inside. Okay, the screen was massive, okay, but it was not like the smaller multiplex one. So, and then there was another place where they had like four theaters, so you didn't have like the 20 theater like complexes. You really had this place where this was the biggest theater there, and they had these two big houses. Now, by the way, this was actually very cool because the screens, I remember coming to Pittsburgh afterwards, and I'd been up to the U.S. a few times before and been to a multiplex where the screens are very small. Yeah, I remember that it was like realizing, holy shit, the screen
There was a period of time where they were packing more and more theaters in and getting smaller and smaller screens. I think that trend is reversed now, and we're back to bigger screens and bigger.
Yes.
But, you know, there was a time period where you'd get the theater with 12 screens, but every screen, like practically the screens were the size that you have at home these days.
Not that much different, to be honest with you. So not like back then where this thing was, I mean, just the side of a fucking building where you were looking at this movie. Okay. Right. Literally. Okay. So anyway, Karate Kid original. Thumb sideways.
For me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So.
And that's it. Shall we take a break and then start hitting our more serious thingy bops thingy?
Slapping it.
Slapping what, Yvonne? What are you doing? You know.
The subjects.
Oh, slapping it. Okay. I was going to say you really should do that in private, but okay.
We should try to slap it in private.
Yeah. Okay. We will be back right after this.
Do, do, do! This podcast is sponsored by Alex Emzilla. Alexa.com. Alex Emsla is great. It's on YouTube. And it has lots of fun videos.
Alex Emsla is awesome and great.
I love his videos, and they are obviously better than Curmudgeon's Corner.
Well, they're funnier. They're more interesting.
And frankly, he seems at least a little smarter than either of the hosts of Curmudgeon's Corner.
Honestly, it's ridiculous how endlessly talented and phenomenal Alex Emsla is.
That's how great his YouTube channel is.
AlexEmsla.com.
Yes. Do, do, do.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I know we didn't put this on the subject line, but I'm looking at this.
Okay. Well, it's your turn to pick. Go for it.
Well, all right. It's breaking news at the moment. You know, and I know you had talked about this earlier in the week, that you saw that nobody else was covering this except the BBC.
Oh, India, Pakistan?
Yeah. Pakistan accuses India of firing missiles at three of its air bases. Pakistan military says some Indian missiles got through defense systems. Pakistan is launching a retaliatory action against India. This is the last couple of hours.
So just to be clear, it's
yet identified Sheikh Hotel.
Okay.
Airspace in Pakistan closes temporarily as India shuts airports. India shut all, there's an airport shutdown in India right now because of the.
So let me clarify what you said. It's not that no place else was covering it at all. It's just that when this started, BBC was the only place that was doing sort of wall-to-wall coverage of it. Like everybody else would like sort of mention it in passing and then move on and start talking about Donald Trump or the Pope or something. But first of all, there was a terrorist attack on some tourists a few weeks ago in the disputed territory of Kashmir,
you're right,
in the Indian controlled part of it. And that got almost no attention. Like I saw a couple news alerts on it, but like it didn't hit any of the normal sort of American news programs that I consume on a regular basis. Not even a mention. You know, of course there was an article in the New York Times. There were a few other places that had something, but it wasn't at the top of the news. Then a couple weeks later, the Indian retaliation happened. And that's when I was sort of noting, I often watch the 4UP display on my, you know, YouTube TV lets you watch a 4UP display of news channels. So it's got Fox in the upper left, CNN in the upper right, MSNBC in the bottom left, and BBC News, BBC World News in the bottom right. And that's where I was noticing all the others were talking about whatever. CNN briefly mentioned India, but then moved on to something else. BBC was treating it like, oh, end of the world breaking news. We're like doing nonstop coverage of this. Even they eventually switched over to Pope stuff. But I guess today there's been more back and forth. And there was also a comment, was it J.D. Vance today who said, when asked about America's opinion on this conflict, basically said, it's none of our business. They can do whatever they want. Whereas, like, some people were hoping that the U.S. would actually try to intervene, and not militarily or anything, but try to help with the, like, hey, let's calm this down. Can we come to some sort of arrangement? Blah, blah, blah. There was various international organizations have said things like that. Let's try to calm it down and see what we can do. But I guess it's been escalating anyway. I've been busy the last few hours. I mean, you just rattled off a whole bunch of new developments.
Well, I went and I was looking at my social media and somebody was saying that they were scared about this, but it seems that, okay, so these are the breaking news from the last couple of hours. Pakistan accuses India of firing missiles at three of its air bases. A spokesman for Pakistan's military says India has fired missiles at three Pakistani military bases. India has not commented on the claims. In a live TV broadcast aired by state television, Lieutenant General Ahmed Sharif Chaudhry warned India that it should wait for a response. Okay. Then the Pakistani said that some missiles got through defense systems. And then Pakistan said it's launching a retaliatory action against India. Then this is from reporting from Sringar, Indian administered Kashmir. This is an Indian territory in Kashmir. Blast as yet unidentified Sheikh Hotel. This is a reporter there. I was woken up by two massive explosions in Sringar at 5:45 a.m. local time. About 20 minutes later, three more blasts occurred. The first two blasts shook our hotel. There's a complete blackout in the city, and there's no clarity yet on what are these sounds. This was half an hour ago. Airspace in Pakistan closes temporarily as India shuts airport. Shortly after reported strikes, Pakistan claims were Indian and hit three of its air bases. Pakistan Airport Authority closed the country's airspace to all traffic until midday local time. In the last few moments, Airports Authority in India has announced it's closing 32 airports across the north and west of the country until the morning of the 15th of May, basically for 6 days. This is, you know, Jesus, okay? That's a long time. Eyewitnesses report hearing explosions near Srinagar Airport. So yeah, it seems like India launched missiles at its air bases, and Pakistan is doing a retaliatory strike on them right now as we speak.
Well, and look, here's a couple different thoughts on this. One, of course, is that it's not like India and Pakistan have been at peace for decades. There have been periodic conflicts between these two countries going back since these two countries existed. So on the one hand, you can be like, oh, okay, here they go again. They'll have a little mini war. They'll exchange some missiles, and then it'll calm down. And cross your fingers, hope that's what happens. But on the other hand, both these countries have nukes. And if it is escalating rather than calming down, it is a matter of concern. Now, they've gone to war before since they both were nuclear powers, and it has not escalated to the use of nuclear weapons. So you've got to hope that leadership in both countries knows not to go there, knows that it's in neither one of their benefits to move to an all-out war. They instead, you know, do some tit for tat over the border and then call it done for a while. And, you know,
So we hope.
Yes. But, and look, I'm not even going to pretend that I know a lot about what the hell is going on there and the details of the conflict between them.
Well, look, here's, I think, it's a territorial dispute. It's been ongoing for decades.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know all the details of that.
Has everything happened with any of these? The details. Look, this goes back to how the partition of fucking...
The line was drawn, and this particular province has a greater Muslim population than the rest of India, and so Pakistan thinks they should have it.
That's basically it's the same dispute. Now, the one thing that, of course, is a flare-up, and it's a flare-up, you know, why is this, like, now something? It's because of something that history has shown is the kind of shit that starts wars, you know? There's a terror attack.
Yeah.
There's an attack, unidentified. It's Indian territory.
Well, here's the thing. This is another one where there is an organization that claimed responsibility for it, but the Indian government says no, the Pakistani government was behind it.
Right.
The Pakistani government says no, we weren't. We had nothing to do with it. The Indians made an attack that they said went after the training bases of the organization that carried out the attacks, but the Pakistanis are like, no. You hit a bunch of civilians, including children, blah, blah, blah. And so it continues, you know?
But what I was saying is that, you know, my thing is, if you look in history and, like, you know, how many conflicts have started, I mean, look at the Spanish-American War, World War I,
right?
You know, the Gulf of Tonkin, something. This is the kind of, like, an event. But
let me look. I looked up the Wikipedia page on Indo-Pakistani wars and conflicts. So there was the Indo-Pakistani War of 1947 to 48, the Indo-Pakistani War of 1965, the Indo-Pakistani War of 1971, the Kargil War of 1999, and then we had smaller conflicts, the Kutch conflict in 1965, the Sai-Chen conflict from 1984 to 2003, and then they have a list of skirmishes, which are smaller. They've got one from 1986 to 87, one in 1999, one from 2001 to 2002, one in 2008, one in 2011, 2013, 2014 through 2015, 2016 through 2018, 2019, 2020 through 2021, and now what they're calling the 2025 India-Pakistan standoff that began on April 23rd, 2025. My point in that list is just that it's a long list.
It's a long list. It's a long list. Yeah. I mean, no doubt about it. It's a long list. But, you know,
so
I do think, you know, always, you know, these guys escalating always gives you a little bit of heartburn.
Well, yes. I mean, and this is the same thing where we were talking about, you know, could the situation in Israel-Gaza escalate to something that encompasses the entire Middle East? Could the situation in Ukraine escalate to something that ends up being a superpower battle between the U.S. and Russia with direct conflict? And here we have...
Superpower battle? Who's the other superpower?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, China.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, and then here we have, like, you know, could this blow up into... You know, a full-fledged, do they start using nukes on each other, you know? And all of these things have the potential of escalation, and that's why, look, we should be concerned anyway, even if they don't escalate. Wars are wars. Wars are bad. Like, there are people dying that don't need to be dying, but the worry of escalation is always the big worry. Like, what if this turns into not just some skirmishes, but something huge?
Look, I will say that I had a lot of, I'm sure it included nightmares as well, but a lot of like residual angst from watching this damn movie many years ago, time of what's the name of it was Karate Kid around time. No, the Dead Zone.
Oh, okay.
The Dead Zone was this movie where what's his name? Martin Sheen plays a guy that became a political guy, and Christopher Walken was a guy that could see the future. And one of the scenes that he sees the future is that Martin Sheen becomes president, and there is some incident that happens internationally that's unclear in the movie, and that there's a negotiation, and that the president decides to launch a nuclear attack. And that he basically, the I think the Secretary of Defense or whoever was the second in command is trying to talk him out of it. And he's talking like a, unfortunately, like some of the leaders we have like now, like a complete lunatic. And he's like, and he threatens him that either you put your hand there to do the authorization, I'll cut off your hand. And he goes and he authorizes the nuclear attack. And then he lets reporters and others come up and they say, hey, and some people that are on his staff, hey, we think we have a way of resolving the situation. And he goes and he says, the missiles are flying. Hallelujah. I always fear a psychopath like that. Okay. I think that is more my the thing that scares me is some crazy bastard that is in charge of a country with nuclear weapons decides to do that. I guess that is like my worst fear.
This was the Dead Zone from 1983?
Yes.
With, let's see.
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken.
Martin Sheen.
Martin Sheen, Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah.
And it was based on a novel from Stephen King.
Stephen King, yes.
Yeah. And a few other folks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That always gave me the creeps. Just that thought of a president just going nuts and launching a nuclear attack.
Well, it's not, you know, but we have a history of electing exceptionally stable, smart, rational presidents who are calm and collected and know what to do in a crisis. I don't know what could possibly worry you, Yvonne.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yes. Well, you know, under the circumstances, I'm not sure J.D. Vance's "it's none of our business, we're keeping out of it" is the worst possible answer here.
It's not. It's just that the thing is that, you know, these guys are so glib. Everything is just, everything is for fucking, like, you know, being on Twitter and, you know, getting clicks. No thought put into anything.
I mean, to be serious for a minute, like, especially with the current administration, but even otherwise, the U.S. does not have a really stellar record of coming into conflicts elsewhere in the world and helping them resolve peacefully. I mean, we have succeeded a couple points. There's like Ireland, you know, the Bill Clinton did a good job there.
Hey, wait a second.
There are a few others.
World War II?
Well, no. Well, I'm talking resolving peacefully, not like I'm saying where there's a dispute between two other people and we come in as the mediator and generate peace, not we come in as a combatant and win the war. That's different.
I mean, look, for what it's worth,
we've done a great
Yugoslavia.
Job. Like Yugoslavia and Ireland are the two I can pick off
Yugoslavia
the top of my
and
head.
Ireland are two pretty big ones.
They're pretty good examples.
And
but,
you know what?
But
got fucking close. Clinton got fucking close
on Israel Palestine.
Yes,
but
so fucking close.
I was about to bring that up as an example where we've been trying for decades and decades and decades without success. But you're right. We did get close. Yes, the whole world would be so much different if
can you imagine
if Arafat had said yes and they didn't assassinate what's his name in Israel?
Rabin.
So
that
I don't
fucking close.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, the U.S. has a tendency to not, I mean, American media in general, like international stuff, doesn't tend to get a lot of our attention unless we are directly involved. I'd say this is one of the ones where it deserves a little attention.
Yeah.
It deserves a little attention. And you may have to, like, go a little out of your way to like, keep up to date on it. Like, you
know, BBC News is basically, they're wall to wall on it right now again. So they're on it, like, right.
Yeah,
now.
Let me do at this very second. Let me bring up my four up, and yeah. So what we got is, let's see. Fox is talking about the Newark mayor. And so is CNN. MSNBC is talking about tariffs, and BBC News is talking about India-Pakistan.
Yeah.
So that's where we are, and I brought that up on my iPad.
You see? They're
very, very excited.
I know.
Now, admittedly, at this very moment, Alex took my phone and who knows where it is, but.
Well, but you see,
the reasons, by the way, I have a backup device.
Right.
If it takes one of them, I can do something on the other one.
Right.
So there you go. Now he has his own phone, but he's constantly stealing mine or my wife.
Like matters. My son, all of a sudden, I'll find him. He'll have my phone, my wife's phone, his phone, his iPad, the other. He'll sit there with five devices.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, shall we take another break? So I will say, where did I put that? Where'd my window go? Hold on. There we go. So the next thing is a wiki of the day. And I will mention it is about, let me make sure I'm correct here. It is a different border conflict. So first of all, the current popular wiki of the day is still a day old because it was the 2025 India-Pakistan strikes.
Okay.
But there should be a new one on the new Pope by now. But in addition to my rule of wiki of the day can't repeat every more than once every 100 days, which of course is you know, this is new Pope. They weren't in the last 100 days. I have another rule to avoid the situation where there's, you know, defacement or graffiti on a Wikipedia page, I won't, if the Wikipedia page has been edited in less than the last half hour, then I wait until there's a half hour gap between edits. And since Pope Leo XIV was picked as what would be the popular wiki of the day for Friday, May 9th.
Well, it was edited very, you know,
there has not yet been a moment where there has been a full half hour go by without edits to this page. Like at this very second, it has been 2 minutes since the last edit to that page.
Ah.
So that's not there. But no, this is a featured wiki of the day instead. And it is not India-Pakistan, but it is on the border conflict between Eritrea and Ethiopia.
Oh, that's one that I'm sure J.D. Vance is really more worried about.
Sorry, no, it's not featured wiki of the day. It's from random wiki of the day. Anyway, here you go. Enjoy and learn.
Do, do, do. Hello, this is Long Form Danielle. I'm here to let you know about Sam the Curmudgeon's other podcasts, the Wiki of the Day podcasts. Wiki of the Day comes in three varieties, popular, random, and featured. Each highlights a new Wikipedia article each day. They just pick the articles differently. This week on Random Wiki of the Day, you would have heard this summary for Eritrean-Ethiopian border conflict. The Eritrean-Ethiopian border conflict was a violent standoff and a proxy conflict between Eritrea and Ethiopia lasting from 1998 to 2018. It consisted of a series of incidents along the then-disputed border, including the Eritrean-Ethiopian War of 1998 to 2000 and the subsequent Second Afar Insurgency. It included multiple clashes with numerous casualties, including the Battle of Girona in 2016. Ethiopia stated in 2018 that it would cede Baden to Eritrea. This led to the Eritrea-Ethiopia summit on July 9, 2018, where an agreement was signed which demarcated the border and agreed a resumption of diplomatic relations. That's it. See? Fun, entertaining, and educational, right? Okay, now look for and subscribe to the Wiki of the Day family of podcasts on your podcast playing software of choice, or just go to wikioftheday.com to check out our archives. Now back to Curmudgeon's Corner.
Okay.
Do-do-do.
Oh, oh, oh. Do-do-do.
I didn't wait for the do-do-do. My bad. Anyway.
You should know that.
I know
about the do-do-do. The do-do-do. The da-da-da. It's a song, and I can't remember the rest of the lyrics, but it's good. That's
okay. That's nice. So anyway, what shall I talk about? Look. We have immigration stuff going on with the arrest of the mayor in Newark. We've got the release of one of the grad students who are actually a couple of them have been released of the grad students who were locked up by ICE. We've got more legal stuff on that. And we've got Steve Miller. Is it Steve Miller? I was
forgetting. Yeah.
Anyway, he's talking about how the administration is discussing suspending habeas corpus because courts keep telling them that they have to give people habeas corpus rights, and they're like, screw that, we don't want to. They apparently haven't made that decision yet, but they're talking about it, all this stuff. But I think what I'll go with, oh, and we got a new pope.
We have a new pope.
American pope. The one thing I'll say about the American Pope is the interviews with his brother are really fun. Like,
yes.
His brother's talking about him and like, he's like, you know, when's the last time you talked to him? Oh, I talked to him right before all this happened. And we played Wordle and Words with Friends. And, oh, by the way, he's a White Sox fan, not a Cubs fan and blah, blah, blah. His brother's a character. At one point, like, some TV network was interviewing his brother, and he got a phone call from the new Pope while he was talking, and it was like, oh, hey, good to talk to you. By the way, you're being recorded right now.
Yeah.
So I guess they didn't have a full conversation at that point. Anyway, it was kind of amusing. But no, I think I'll go with what I said last week I didn't want to talk about, which is an update on the whole trade and tariffs and all this kind of situation. And specifically, what people have been talking a lot more about in the last week is the reduction in the volume of shipping coming into American ports. That is, you know, the appropriate amount of delay after the tariffs were initially announced, and how, like, this a few weeks from now is likely to lead to supply issues. Like,
it well, we had actually, a surge. Okay.
We had a surge of people trying to get ahead of.
In March, we had a record-breaking trade deficit. Okay. We had a
record low trade deficit, right?
No.
In terms of like, oh, no, you're right. Sorry. I'm confused. We imported way more than usual. Everybody was trying to get ahead of the tariffs.
Correct. I'll tell you some stories about crazy shit that I've seen with this kind of stuff. Okay. I remember 30 years ago, I had a friend of mine that had a factory that made certain latex products. And there was a certain category of latex products that was going to be all of a sudden banned.
Was it
from import? No, it wasn't. It was gloves.
Okay.
if I remember correctly, it was gloves. And so the thing is that in order to get ahead of that ban, the factories in Asia that made them, like, imported enough supply to last like 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
And that what that meant was that anybody before that manufactured locally in the U.S. got crushed by this massive inventory of low-cost ones that were imported to beat the damn headline. It was going to take years to work off that inventory. And so, therefore, if you were trying to make gloves in the U.S. and sell them, you basically were fucking completely shit out of luck, because there was such a massive supply of, like, cheap ones that came in and gutted that. Now, they had a lot of advance warning, okay, that was happening. So therefore, they had enough time to build enough inventory for that. But it's one of the crazy supply disruptions that happens. Now, they didn't have that much time to go and, like, ship, like, years of maybe certain products, okay? But what many manufacturers did, including Apple, for example, and other large ones, is that they said, look, we're going to right now try to get as much product as we can for the short term in order to, you know, to try to beat these tariffs. And so there was a surge in that. And so now comes the lull. And, you know, people are saying, is this bullshit or whatever? Well, the guy who heads the Port of Los Angeles was on an interview on Bloomberg.
He's been on TV a lot. Flat out telling you,
listen, there is a massive drop of ships coming in. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm in charge of this fucking port. And we don't have fucking ships. We don't have a lot of ships scheduled to come in right now. Okay. So,
and I've heard this guy talking too. Like, they have his dashboards and stuff include, like, who's leaving Asia. And so they have, basically, they know several weeks in advance.
Based on the 30, 60 days, depends on
like a month to 2 months. I think he actually said 45 days. They have a 45 day view that they
usually look at. Well, that's actually, if I would have said 45 days, I would have been right. Why did I say 30, 60 days? Exactly fucking 45 days. Okay, yes.
Yeah, so he has a 45 day view that he's always looking at. And he's like, look, I knew, like, right after the tariffs were announced, that there was a drop, because we started to see that drop right away. And of course, it takes those 45 days for that to start showing on this side of the ocean.
Right.
And that's where we are now. And oh, by the way, even if everything was reversed tomorrow, that means you've got at least that long a delay, probably more, before things start reversing again.
Look, this is the same shit as the supply shock. You know, the supply shocks and demand shocks that we had with a pandemic. It's the same fucking dynamic, okay? It's exactly the same. And, you know, like I saw from certain, the ones specifically auto parts manufacturers, okay?
Uh-huh.
I was seeing some. This is one guy that was talking about how the last shipment that he cleared customs, he had to pay such a huge amount of in tariffs in order to clear it. And that basically he didn't have another order in place. And that at some point he was going to start running out of these parts because we just can't afford to buy them
right
now. And so this is the supply shock that he's put in place. Fucking President Moron
now, just
was saying the other day, did you hear what he said?
This is exactly what I was going to say. Donald Trump was asked about, like, the fact that the ports are empty and all this kind of stuff. And is he worried about this? And he's like, no, because before we were losing trillions of dollars. Now we're not doing business, so we're not losing trillions of dollars anymore. This is good because, and here's the fundamental thing you have to remember with this is twofold. One, Donald Trump believes that paying for something is always a loss. Always. He doesn't pay his contractors. He doesn't pay his staff. None of this. He believes that if you pay somebody something, it's out and out a loss. You are losing money in that transaction, and that's all that matters. He doesn't recognize that, oh, and you're getting value in exchange that you think is worth more than the money, which is why it's a good trade. He doesn't get that part. All he gets is you're losing money because you bought something. And in this case, he believes the country is losing money because we're buying Chinese stuff and we're buying things from other countries. And the whole strategy he has around tariffs starts to make more sense if you realize that fundamentally he thinks buying things from other countries is out and out bad. And a fundamental goal of his policy is that we should not be buying stuff from foreigners. Period, end of story. And anything that can make us buy less stuff is good.
Look, the harsh reality of this stupidity is going to be presented itself to the American public in a not too distant future, okay? Where we are going to be experiencing, once again, shortages, delays, things.
Higher prices.
Much higher prices. It is just utterly fucking moronic. And by the way, they said that they finally got one trade deal.
No,
not
UK,
really.
Yes.
But not really.
Oh, but I heard both Trump and the UK Prime Minister, Starmer. Both of them said this is wonderful and amazing and a great deal. So what are you talking about, Yvonne? Are you disparaging this amazing deal?
I'm disparaging the amazing deal from the fact that this isn't even a deal.
Right.
This is an agreement to negotiate a deal, not even a real deal. Okay. Start off with that fact. Okay?
And then even the things they agreed to negotiate
are terrible.
Yeah.
They're terrible.
And one thing, by the way, that Donald Trump seems to have made clear over the last few days is the 10% global tariff on everybody is not negotiable. Like even if some of these reciprocal tariffs get reduced, probably not eliminated, but reduced, that 10% on everybody global worldwide, he's not budging on that.
I mean, but.
And for China, by the way.
Oh, well, China. Oh, he's got us. Oh, he had a revelation, I guess.
Well, no, the latest was that he's like, we may be able to, we feel like negotiating down from 140% or whatever the hell it is right now, down to 80 would be reasonable.
Well,
80
that's what I'm saying. That was a short revelation. He said something along the lines of like, you know, I'm starting to like 80.
Right.
You know, like. 80%? What the fuck? Listen, this lunacy will not end until Congress goes and pulls the fucking authority from him. That is the only way this is ending. But Congress will not act until this is a complete shit show. That's the reality that you've got. They will not have sufficient pressure on top of them from people being pissed off until this shit show hits the American people.
Well, and even then, I wonder. But like, there is a level of pain that will do that.
The American public has shown almost zero level of tolerance for economic pain.
Well, yeah. Well, the thing, and we've talked about this before, is that I still feel that before Congress would get to the point where they would actually do something like that, Donald Trump himself will declare victory and back off on his own. Like, he would not want the embarrassment of having Congress actually slap him down. Republicans.
Well, he'll have to get to the step of like them having to go and like go through the motions
in order
of doing
him,
that.
Yes.
So he will somehow declare one of these fucking victories that he loves declaring, you know. Right.
But it might be that he does that at a point where that pressure is still private, but it has to be at the point where, like, if he sees no way out, if he sees like they, you know, my own party is going to slap me down if I don't do something, that's, he will back off before they actually have to do it. But he will back off in a face-saving way. He will not say he's backing off. He will declare victory.
He'll declare victory.
Well, just like this UK thing, and I'm sorry, I took you on a tangent, but you were talking about how the UK thing was really nothing, and maybe you can talk more about why it's nothing. But nevertheless, this is a case where Donald Trump is declaring it the greatest thing ever, and they've reduced tariffs a certain amount, and blah, blah, blah. This is his MO, like, create the crisis, then have nominal concessions that don't really matter that much and declare it as the hugest victory in the world and then back off from the crisis you created.
No, the reason I said it's just not a victory. I mean, they're still applying tariffs on vehicles. They're still applying tariffs on products. They really, you know, the UK, which had almost the lowest level of tariffs on our fucking products, they're still getting hammered with a whole bunch of them.
I believe the UK was one of the countries that we actually had a surplus with.
Yes, probably. I'm sure that it sure was. And so they're getting completely fucked. Okay. And the reality is that they went and it isn't really a deal anyway. All they did was agree. They laid out, it's, you know, I call this in business, we do these memorandums of understanding, you know, which is just, oh, okay, so we agree to do these things. We agree to negotiate and arrive at a contract at a later time. But as I've been told many times in sales, if I arrive with a fucking... Listen, I don't even try to write an MOU anymore because I cannot book a sale with a fucking memorandum of understanding. That's right. Just, you know, that's just a fucking sales boilerplate bullshit. And that's what we got today. It's not a deal. It's just a document that says, okay, we kind of agree that we're going to negotiate on these things under these parameters.
Right.
And then we're going to negotiate a deal. But it's a shitty, I mean, listen, Keir Starmer has been under pressure because his administration has not been very effective at doing anything. Just like every recent, you know, British administration, regardless of party at this point, I guess. And so he was under pressure to like try to provide some kind of victory. And I think he wanted to declare a victory, even though honestly, they got fucked.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing that people pointed out.
Well, let me change that. They didn't extract anything from this.
Well, let me say this, because this is another part of the how you look at it. And Starmer actually said something along these lines, because at his press conference, the British press was pushing him on this. Because, you know, yes, potentially the terms are better than they were a couple days ago.
Right.
But they're still,
they weren't good.
They're still much worse than they were pre-Trump, right?
Right.
So it's like, you know, you... On a scale of 0 to 100 of how bad it was, let's say we start at 0, Trump took you to 100, you managed to negotiate back down to 80 or something.
Yeah.
You know, basically. So yes, it's better than it was a few seconds ago, but it's still horrible and it's still worse than it was a few months ago. And I'm not sure you can get to better than you started as long as Trump is around and as long as his ultimate objective is we don't want to import stuff. I mean, fundamentally, that's his ultimate objective. We don't want to import stuff. Although apparently he was like, Rolls Royces are okay. We can import them.
Oh, yeah. The rollers are good. Yes. That's, you know, hey, we need, yeah, we want those. I'm like, oh, the fuck. You know, my bank seems to think, speaking of British cars, that I am like a lot, you know, quite a lot wealthier than I see myself as, because it gave me this thing where I'm in my Chase bank account and it says, hey, you know, are you interested in a McLaren? You know, a McLaren is a, you know, ridiculously expensive, like, you know, we've got these programs to help you buy. Oh my God. I'm like, what are you sending me, McLaren? Really? What the hell? You know, I'm like, so yeah, but I guess now with Trump's tariff deal, I get a better deal now, Sam, than I could a week ago, but not better than the one that I could get while I was under Biden. Right?
There, yes.
Okay, that sounds awful.
Yeah, so what I keep hearing different things about how far away before we really feel the pain of all this stuff. Like it feels.
I was just going to say,
it seems like for over a month now, people have been saying a couple more weeks and then you'll really feel it. Where are we really on this at this point before like there are obvious effects that like average person shopping would notice? I mean, I know some prices have already gone up.
I mean, it's going to be about 90 days really before this is, it's going to be like summer. Listen, we're going to get
another
hammered.
90 days. Yeah. Cause I keep
like through July. It's really,
keep hearing people say like before the end of May, we'll start seeing empty shelves and higher prices.
I think you'll start seeing some, but what I'm going to say is that the brunt of the effect is going to be really hit in late June, July, like right for the summer. Which is okay. Going to be great. Everybody's going to have a fantastic summer. Because, like, Ford already announced that car prices are good. They're going to have to, you know, they had first said, hey, we're cutting prices, blah, blah, blah. And I think they were trying to do that to curry favor with Trump. They realized it didn't work. And so now they already quietly announced, we have to raise prices on July 1st. Already, so it's that kind of stuff that's going on, like, right now. And so more of that will be percolating like right now as it goes on. I think we'll have the full because of, you know, you talked about the transit time for ships and how long does inventory stay, you know, that you can sell. And most people will sell the inventory that they got based on the previous cost, not on the new price for the most part, not necessarily that because some people will raise prices based on, you know, what the last inventory they got, even if they haven't sold out the last stock. Okay. But, you know, because of how they front loaded some of the stuff, they're working off of that inventory and how ships have stopped coming and the lead time that you've got, the 45 days, it really should be summer. It's really like, you know, when summer starts, you know, June, July around there is when you're really going to start seeing the full really shitstorm starting to.
What area, like for the average consumer, what area will they notice it in first?
It's going to be, man, the cars are still going to be the most visible one.
Okay. How about for things that people buy like every month? Like a car is a rare purchase, right? Like, but there's certain staples that people buy all the time. What's going to hit there first?
Auto repair, car services, anything that has to do with like fixing your car, for example, any of those. Look, you go to how about clothes?
That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Clothes or electronics or those
electronics.
Kinds of when are they going
to? Small appliances.
Okay.
You know, all of this shit, okay, is getting hit. You know, you're going to go shopping for just about anything. You're going to start seeing the impacts of this. So,
I mean, because the bottom line is I mean, the whole thing that Trump says he's trying to address is that manufacturing largely moved out of the U.S. for lots of these things. And so basically, yeah, like, I mean, people have said like Walmart's whole business model was about getting cheap shit from China, right? So are you going to
cheap shit, period, from wherever, right? But it wound right, up being a lot mostly from China.
So are you going to walk into a Walmart and the whole damn place is going to be empty and or prices double what they used to be?
I mean, yeah, in many cases. Yeah. You're looking at toys. Think about all the categories that the Chinese dominate.
Oh, Yvonne,
toys.
Toys, you know, Trump has explained to us that we only need two dolls, not 30.
Well, that's, you know. Any electronic, any electric or electronic products, okay? I mean, think about it. I mean, the vast majority of them are all made in China. And the electric component, even if they're not final assembled in China, their components are so many of them from China anyway. It's just,
and even the ones that are from other countries, it's not like these other countries are getting off scot-free. It's just the increase is less.
Yeah.
Like, where do they make Lego? Is it actually made in Denmark? Probably somewhere in Asia, right?
Oh, God. Beats me. I don't know, but I'm going to guess it probably is made somewhere that they're getting nailed with a big-ass tariff.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm checking. Where are they made? Where are Lego bricks made? Molding is done in Denmark,
okay.
Hungary, Monterrey, Mexico, and China.
Okay, there you go. So yeah, buy your Legos now.
Yeah, but I just, you know, it's the. I'm gonna give the sarcasm that the Economist wrote about the tariff negotiations after they finished with the, you know, with the message. Next up, America's great rival. Negotiators were traveled to Switzerland this weekend for talks with their Chinese counterparts. You know, so I'm just, you know, if Britain's vaunted special relationship managed to secure only the slimmest of concessions, Communist Party cadres should not get their hopes up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they basically got, you know, like right now they've got, they got nothing. So.
Lovely. So, yeah. So if you're planning on that, so. Is it good advice that if you're planning on thinking about buying something significant over the summer that you might want to consider doing it early?
Well, that's why I bought those tires.
Yeah, I know. I
told you. I'm like, I didn't want to wait, you know, on the because of that. I mean, those for sure were going to get hit with that. I do think that definitely if you've got something significant that you really need, that is due to be purchased, you need it like now. Don't wait. Just don't wait.
Right.
You need to pull the trigger as soon as you can.
But Yvonne, buying anything, spending money is bad. It's just a loss. You shouldn't do that.
So you just don't buy stuff, right?
Just don't buy stuff.
You just steal it.
Well, that's what Donald does.
Well, that's what Donald does. I know.
He gets people to give it to him, and then sometimes by promising to pay them. But, you know,
that's
the key
true.
Is not he to is, actually do it.
Yeah, he does promise to pay and just doesn't actually pay. I'm actually checking to see if the price of my tires already went up by any chance. Let's see, because I know that let me see. Let's see if this is the case. All right, filter. All right, let's see. Shit. Yes, a little bit, but I don't think it's got the full weight of it. But yes, it's already up.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. With that, shall we wrap things up?
I guess. Let's, we don't got.
I mean,
anything else we didn't mention?
We're a little shorter than we usually are. So if there's something else that's really hot on your mind, let's do it.
Well, no, we'll wrap it up.
We got Newark Mayor. We got habeas corpus. We got stagflation. We got.
Well, they did release the Newark Mayor, you know, finally. I saw it after like 5 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I still said the one thing that I said about the Newark mayor thing, they arrested him and then they released him, these assholes, just for intimidation purposes. I said that if I'm the Newark mayor and the sheriff reports to me, I'm showing up at that fucking place with an entire battalion of sheriffs and I'm fucking starting to arrest the fuck out. I'd show up with the entire battalion. I'm like, oh, we're all arresting all of every employee I see, you're under arrest. Why? In prison, false imprisonment. Charge all these people. Charge them all. Fuck it. Drag every single one to fucking court. Drag them, shackle them, drag them all. Okay? They want to fuck like this? If it were me, that's what I would start doing. Because that's the only way to get these people you think this is a joke? We'll start dragging your asses to jail, okay?
Yeah. I don't know that.
People need to start with that attitude. People need to start with that attitude to fuck this shit, okay?
Well, if we actually had, this is sort of first shots fired, the feds arresting a local official and they harass some Congress people too. If you start getting local people arresting feds, you're going to have some crazy stuff working out in the courts as that works through. But you said, it's sort of like that's the kind of thing people want to see. We want to see you fighting. And yes, that means doing unorthodox stuff that's going to cause conflict, that's going to cause issues in the courts. You may win, you may lose, who knows? But they want to see you pushing to the limits, not just, politely saying, this is unacceptable.
Exactly. Right.
By the way,
the mayor of Newark was actually pushing that to a certain extent. He was saying that they didn't have a certificate of occupancy. He was trying to, were there to tell them that they need to shut down the place. So that was part of the whole reason why he was there. And what I'm saying is, hey, if that's the whole reason, escalate. Then shut them down.
Right.
Drag them, arrest them, shut them down, shut the place down. Fucking it said this place is unlawful. It cannot be occupied. Throw them all the fuck out. And by the way, the people that did the false imprisonment, arrest them all.
Well, and here's the key, I'm all for the aggressive tactics. Go up to the limit of everything you can possibly legally justify, but don't do what they're doing in terms of do things that are blatantly illegal and wait to be stopped.
Exactly. No, you go you find what the, you look at how much can I push the law on this right now? Let's push it all the way.
Right.
So.
And then let the court stop you. But
exactly.
Go up to that line. Don't go blatantly over it.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Like I wouldn't suggest that the Newark police just come in guns a-blazing and shoot all the ICE agents.
That would be no. I'm not advocating for that. But
I would not recommend
arresting them for false imprisonment, I would go over there right now, fucking because they have no legal right whatsoever to have arrested the mayor. Okay, as far as I can tell, none. I would go over there right now. I'm charged. Hey, charge them all with false imprisonment. Arrest them the fuck all. Drag them out to jail.
Well, honestly, I thought you were going further with that and say the false imprisonment was the immigrants they were rounding up.
Well, I'll take that too. Yes. Add that too. Absolutely.
Now, in some cases, they may have legal authority to do so, but it seems clear. Lots of the cases they don't.
Right. So.
Sorry. At least a few.
That's the kind of shit. That's the kind of shit that they need to start doing. Fuck this. You can't be timid with these people. You got to start punching them in the mouth.
There we go.
All right. So.
Okay. Let's wrap it up. Curmudgeons-corner.com, because nobody bought us the $3,000 curmudgeonscorner.com without the hyphen.
Aww.
I know. Anyway, curmudgeons-corner.com. You can find our archives. You can find transcripts. You can find all the ways to contact us. You can find links to our YouTube. I still haven't added one to TikTok. I'm still behind on posting TikTok, whatever. They're not getting a lot of views lately, so I'm not super motivated. So I'm, behind.
The algorithm doesn't like us.
Yeah. Looking real quick, of the three videos that I posted from last week's, the one with the most views got 14 views. Whereas like a couple months ago, they were getting hundreds. And so I don't know if TikTok changed their algorithm or their algorithm just decided that we suck. Either way, the question is, you know,
we've been shadow banned, Sam.
We've been shadow banned. Oh, my God.
We've been shadow banned.
You're right. It is because we're anti-Trump. They're going after us. They are censoring us.
They're censoring us.
They're censoring us. That's it.
Censored. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, you can find all that stuff. And of course, you can find a link to our Patreon where you can give us money at various levels. We will mention you on the show. We will ring a bell. We will send you a postcard. We will send you a mug, etc. I sent Ed his mug, but I still have not sent the cards to Yvonne to then send to Pete and Greg, maybe this weekend. I have filled out the cards, though.
Maybe next time we adjust the air conditioner, you're on my part.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Next time I do stuff. I don't know. Anyway, in addition, at $2 a month or more, or if you just ask us, we'll invite you to the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, where Yvonne and I and a bunch of listeners are chatting and sharing links and all that kind of stuff. What do you got for us this week, Yvonne, from the Slack?
Oh, this is a great story. I got boy accidentally orders 70,000 lollipops on Amazon. Okay, panic ensues. Holly LaFavre said he was eventually refunded to $4,200. For her 8-year-old son's order of Dum Dums candy. And the picture of the merchandise being delivered is just absolutely hilarious. This is on the New York Times. Just all these boxes at the entrance of their house, box after box of fucking lollipops just stacked outside their house in Kentucky. It's fantastic. This is great. This is the guy. Mom, my suckers are here, said her son Liam, who had gone outside to ride his scooter. I panicked. And then she was hysterical. She was like, what the fuck? What the hell? You know, you ordered a few. I was mentioning that my wife the other day, I will admit that she went and she saw, I asked her to order me some shaving cream. Okay. And there was some offer on the brand that I use, Barbasol, that was like quite cheap. Okay. It's like $6. It said like, I don't know how many can, you know, some number, whatever. And I'm like, okay, $6. It seems good. Listen, I think my son, right? Well, I don't know what the deal was, why those were so cheap, but it's very likely that in my will, I will have to leave my son Barbasol. Okay. Given the amount that we received, I think I have to give away some of this or something because it's just crazy. So that was the one. The other one that I had that I love sharing was, so I was sharing this back in, I guess this must have been this was in the 90s. Yeah, Windows Me, right, was in the 90s.
Okay.
There was a picture of a case of an E-Machines computer that had this sticker that I always loved that I thought was so stupid. This computer is never obsolete, Sam.
Yep.
Sam, never.
Never.
The E-Machines computer will never be obsolete.
Now, I will note, if you look carefully on the sticker on that, the piece that makes it that is that they were having an offer that you could upgrade the machine annually for like $99 a year. And that's probably what they meant for that. But I am fairly sure that at some point that offer expired and and you would not have successfully upgraded all the way from then to now at $99 a year and actually have a modern computer today.
Sam, it's never obsolete. What are you talking about? Is a computer, is that company, I mean, they're out of business, right?
I was
acquired by Gateway in 2004.
Well, and Gateway is going strong right now to this day, as we all know,
doing
right?
Great. They're really killing it.
Okay, what happened to Gateway next?
I think got bought by Acer. I think I'm looking at here. Yeah,
purchased by Acer.
Acer in 2007, yes. For basically less money than Apple sells in one day. $700 million.
But they still maintain the brand? I'm like going to gatewayusa.com and you can still buy.
Yeah, Acer computers. Was still making like, yeah, some stuff. But
a couple laptops, an Android tablet.
Never obsolete, Sam.
Never
obsolete. I mean, you know, it's like fast, reliable internet access powered by MCI UUNet.
Of course.
The world's richest internet content provided by Netscape.
surf, email, invest, shop, chat, travel, and more. This thing had an Intel Celeron processor with 32 megabytes of RAM and a 10 gigabyte hard drive and a 40 times speed CD-ROM, because that was, you know, that the, you don't remember how that multiplier on the speed of the CD-ROM was always like, so, oh, it's 40 times, 80 times, 80 times what? Yeah, I know it's standard speed of the original CD, whatever.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Okay, yeah, no, I get that. But, you know, it's like 3D graph, AGP graphics, Sam, we tell you. I mean, listen, this thing, state of the art, we tell you.
Never obsolete.
Like never obsolete.
Are we done?
We're done.
You should get one of those machines.
Try to find like a fully working one to see, you know. But
next week's podcast will record. You will use that machine.
Well, on Netscape, you know, what the hell, version 3.0 or something, whatever.
Something. Something.
Windows Me. As far as I remember, that was not remembered as a great operating system.
I believe your memory is correct.
Yeah.
It was one of the ones that was regarded as a mistake, right?
Basically, yes.
Like, yes. Where people were warning, don't upgrade to this.
No.
Stick with what's older or wait for the next one. This sucks.
Yes. Yeah.
Wasn't
Didn't
Windows
that one have like Bob, which was too. The one that had like Bob or the assistant? Just like,
I thought Bob was its own thing.
Bob was its own thing. Yeah, the assistant. Yeah, Clippy. Yeah, Bob. I actually like Clippy.
Well, now everything's Clippy, right? Like, they're sticking Clippy in everything. Like,
yeah.
That, basically, that's what ChatGPT is, right?
Basically, it's, yeah, it's, I know.
Basically Clippy. So, anyway.
Anyway. All right, we're done.
We're done. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week. Stay safe. Have fun. Blah, blah, blah. All of the things I say. Thanks to the one person who's watching us live right now.
It's not me.
It's not you. They just started like 15 minutes ago, 13 minutes ago. We appreciate you. The actual podcast will be out later this weekend. Goodbye. Here's the music.
Music.
The one person who was watching us live stopped watching right after I mentioned it. And I started that.
You intimidated.
I chased them away. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, I see you. I see you're watching. And they're like,
See. Well, so. Can we, would you be? You're like, oh, shit.
Okay. Hitting stop. Bye, Yvonne.